Okay. See, I always forget that. So because it's just a decoration, what's the difference with the gifts that are wrapped under the tree? Right? When you unwrap them and take the bows off, like that's, you know, for our gifts that we give out, like puts an extra bow on it, which I think is unnecessary, but she thinks it's pretty. But if you take the bow off, you take the wrapping paper, open the box. The main point of that is actually not the wrapping. It's actually what's inside. It's what's inside that brings the value. And I was thinking about this. I don't know if this really makes sense, but I really feel that this was kind of a thought process for me, that it's the same thing with Christians. It's the same thing with the church. There's a lot of like so-called Christians you may know in your workplaces, at your schools, or even here at church, where people can proclaim to be a Christian, or a church can proclaim to be a Christian church. But it's all the box, it's the gift wrapping, it's the bow. But Christ is not center, right? Jesus is not inside. And from the outside, you can't really tell. But Jesus in a believer's life, Jesus in the church, is everything. You guys get that? I just think that we can see the difference. You could see the difference in someone's life when Jesus is present in their life, right? Does that make sense? So I was thinking about this. I don't know how I kind of came to this, but it makes me think that this name, Emmanuel, God with us, is huge, it's immense. And so the name is a big deal. And every name of God is embodied in Jesus, in the God who is with us, So sorry, part of this was on the plane, part of this was in our hotel room. And so I don't know if it all like came out. I just was typing, highlighting it. Sometimes I put too much. This particular verse in Matthew says, referring to the prophecy, she will give birth to a son. And this is the angel speaking to Mary. She will give birth to a son, and or speaking to like Joseph, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, which Old Testament is what? Jesus, Old Testament, parallel name is, do you guys remember? Anybody also a J? Go ahead. Anybody? Joe? Jojo? Joseph, right? Okay. Which is the one who saves. Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And we'll see the reference in Isaiah. The virgin will conceive, prophesied over 700 years prior. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this particular prophecy in Isaiah is in Isaiah. And a couple of chapters later, you see Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And we could all turn to it if we want to. I guess I didn't put the whole passage out. So we'll focus on this line today. This is amazing song that we sing Christmas time in the choir, or it's presented in Handel's Messiah, but it's the choir goes, "For unto us a child is born." You guys know that? "Unto us a son is given." Again, I'm saying that alone. Right. "Unto us a son is born. Unto us." Right. So this is that passage. But I think this is interesting because as I was even just meditating on this a few weeks ago, the prophet writes, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Those are referring to the same person, but it says two different things. And I wanted you to discuss, if you don't mind, in a group this morning, what do you think is the difference in this verse 6? A child is born, but the son is given. Why? Why is that? What's the difference? Why is he the child who is born, but also the son who is given? You want to get into a group real quick, just a group of two or three, and I'll give you guys like 5 minutes or something, or probably less, 3 minutes. Let's do just a three, so that each person has about a minute to process out loud a little bit. But if you need more time, let me know, okay? What's the difference and why? You know, these are the words of God here. What do you think is the difference in this one verse? Okay, how are we doing? Zach's just talking about justice. All right, so what do you guys think? Any thoughts? Any thoughts on this? What do you guys think is a difference? Anybody care? How about we start from the back there? How about we start from the back? Yeah, please.
Are you basically said, like, I guess, when it comes to these like sentences with like the comma in between, I think it's like basically saying two truths, but like it might seem like different things, but they're both like true at the same time. In that, I guess when I thought of giving, I think like, okay, who's giving?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, son, I think Trinity, right?
So right.
Mm-hmm. The father giving son.
Right.
And like,
which is bizarre when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, like the Godhead, the Father is giving the Son, right? Yeah, keep going.
But also that Daniel said, like, it wouldn't make sense to say like the Son is necessarily born, like a child is born, because the Son already existed.
Right.
So yes. Like, I guess it's kind of like a distinction, like, oh, the child is born, but at the same time, the Son is being given.
Right.
So we're saying it's kind of like a foreshadowing of like 100% man, 100% God thing.
Ah,
of like, wow. It's 100% man in the sense of born.
Yeah.
But also, he's already there to be given.
Right. Good. Right. Good. Yeah. Great. Great discussion. Anybody want to add to that?
girls to anything.
We basically said.
Okay. Amen, right? Amen. Ditto. Okay. Any other groups? Mr. James. You guys see us. Sorry, I'm standing in the way. Yeah. It's this is what you guys were talking about is what got me. It made me think in the different layers of what you had said, right? Because here's the stuff, and I just didn't get to clean it up. I was just writing out thoughts in my mind so I can kind of keep track of myself. I was almost not gonna do this presentation. So I'm like, it's all like in here, but I figured working with youth so much, you know, it's like, you like it like laid out. You know, the son existed before the child was born. So Mary get, you know, I think I had birthday. Mary gave birth to a child, but the second person of the Trinity, that's what I was thinking, existed, scripture says, when? Before even the creation of the universe. It's kind of, see, when you start going down that trail of thinking, this is mind-boggling. Because there was a time when Jesus did not yet take on human form. Right? Jesus was a part of creation. And so he didn't. There was, from everlasting to everlasting, eternally before even the concept of the created universe and created concept of time, there's the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, who is not in human form, forever before. That's, I don't know if that phrase makes sense in terms of like a time reference, right? But forever before, there's no beginning to God. And so you have the second person of the Trinity that we know of. And this is mind-boggling that he then, there was a time when he took on the form of humanity. There's, I don't know, to me, when I was thinking about, there's so many layers to that. I'm not sure what that does to you. John 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? Let's say it together. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God as and is in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. This was a different version. Through him, all things were made. So when we look back at the book of Genesis, as the Trinity is speaking among themselves, Jesus was there. And God says to himself, let us make man in our image. Right? That's something else that I was thinking about. What is it about man created in the image of God might be more powerful of a concept than we can really comprehend
or that we typically think about today. That God discussed among himself the Trinity and said, let's make them in our image. I don't know how that strikes you. I have something where I talk about that later, I'm pretty sure. I don't know why Isaiah wrote it this way, but I feel it's an amazing statement. I heard Pastor James say this in their little group. It's a joyous statement. It is not just joyous, it is so amazing to me. And when you think about scripture, I was like, man, Isaiah didn't have to write it this way. He could have just said one or the other. But this is being led by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit intended for that phrase to be given, right? That a child is born and the son is given. For unto us, a child is born to us, a son is given. So I wanted you guys to think about that. There was a time when Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, took on human form. He never became less God, but he added a human nature to his divine nature. We see that in Philippians 2. Philippians 2 is very powerful, but I wanted us to stretch our thoughts a little bit. What do you think about this? I don't know if it changes your perception of Jesus's willingness to be limited, to be born a child. It's bizarre. Because scripture tells us in Luke chapter 2 that he grew, that this child has to grow in his body. He has to grow in his wisdom and his stature, right? So think about that. The eternal Son of God, who had no beginning, took this on. He took on a form that limited him to the point where he had to actually grow and develop. And the scripture says, grow in wisdom. Meaning there was a time where he could not express himself, except by saying in Hebrew, the Hebrew translation of gu gu ga ga, right? Whatever that is, that's all he spoke. He babbled like a baby. So would you talk about this in your groups and just maybe like share the thought process, like share some, I said, think out loud together. Like, what are your thoughts on this? You know, does it change your perception of Jesus? Does it, I don't know. What does it do for you? So get in your groups again. Sorry if you have to move around. That maybe keeps our blood flowing. But I'll get out of the way. So get in groups again, like, you know, 3 minutes. What do you guys think about that? And maybe our participants online, if you want to say anything afterwards, can also share. So what do you guys think? Should we start from here this time and work our way around? How about you, group? You know, isn't this kind of, it's a little mind-boggling to you? I guess think about the fact that Jesus existed, or the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, existed and like limited himself into a form where he'd have to be born and like develop and grow. What did you guys like think about that? What were some of your thoughts?
Well, we said like a lot,
mm-hmm.
but like it was like that, like he humbled himself to like go through like what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
Like Elise was saying how like you could like relate with somebody more if like they're your age and going through like the same same thing as you,
yeah,
than like somebody above you like that already went through it.
Mm-hmm.
That was just
okay. Good. What else? Like on anything?
I was thinking like he came as like a baby because you would, I feel like people would trust someone better if you see them grow up with you than if you just came as like a grown adult. Like you don't know their background, they don't know him.
Yeah.
So
then you're sus, right? Okay. Good. All right, Elise, what did you think about it?
Well, I guess we also talked about like how coming as like an infant, like being born, even though he was like part of the Trinity and he like had no beginning and he like was just forever, but like he came, like he was all powerful, but he came as a baby,
mm-hmm,
which also like shows that he has like he's not prideful,
mm-hmm,
and he's like he has the humility to come and like be limited and then to have like to like grow up like the same way we did. To like face all the challenges like we had,
yeah,
like when we were growing up.
Yeah.
But not only that, but like he also like overcame all of it, like sin temptations.
Mm-hmm.
And if he came like as a 33-year-old man, then like, and he's just saying, oh, you guys, like you're all wrong or whatever. But like if he came as a baby and grew up and like went through all of that, then he can like he actually went through all of that,
mm-hmm,
and he overcame it. So he can teach us.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of powerful that it's the Son of God. It's a son of God, like the Father, right? The Son of the Father. Theoretically, the Messiah could be any sinless individual who could take all of the, you know, be it a person, a sinless angel, but God ordained, right, and said that this is actually going to be my son, doing that to fulfill this, right? So, very powerful thoughts. I think that's really neat that you guys are hovering around this concept that Scripture says that he sympathizes with our weaknesses, right? He knows. How about in the back?
We agree with a lot of what Ali said, actually. With that on a little bit, he saw that he, as perfect and all powerful God and the Creator, knows how bad it is to be a baby, you know. But he was still willing to do that. Like
he already knows.
Yeah, he's like, I know it's gonna suck, but
mm-hmm,
I'm gonna do it anyway. All the reasons why he said. But yeah, it shows his like total humility, right? Like he's all powerful, but he becomes like the weakest thing,
mm-hmm,
you know. And he knows how bad it is going into it, and he still chooses to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then just says,
I guess we said like, I think the main purpose of like Jesus becoming human is so like ultimately to fulfill like the law, like perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be true that like a human perfectly fulfilled the law, and
mm-hmm,
so there's no like excuse, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's to show like something to compare to almost, I think, like how bad we are. I think like when it comes to like God relating to us, I don't know, maybe that's kind of encouraging for like us, but I never actually, I think maybe it's not necessarily like necessary, because I think like if Jesus wasn't a human, like God would still like know how we are. So
yes, yeah, God would know. Yeah. But what's the difference? What would be your point then? Why is
the I guess the point is that like for us it's more like I don't know, like maybe encouraging to know that he was a human and that even though he didn't have to, like he still went through all the things that a human would,
right.
Like for our own like salvation, so that we can have the faith in him.
Yeah. Okay. That's true.
We talked about that Jesus doesn't have to come as a baby, but the whole method is really amazing. And but he did come, and he also demonstrated he's sinless and in all stages his life with us. And for us, we go, oh yeah, if I put into that situation, I will not do this, but we always fail. And it doesn't matter in what situation and what generations, and we all fail. But Jesus was the only one that never failed, never sinned. And that whole how God saved us, it's just amazing.
Yes, right. It's true. He didn't have to do it that way.
Yeah. And also fulfilled a promise that he promised David that his kingdom will last forever. And how do you last forever, depending on human. And but the promises it was given, gave us Jesus, and it's the kingdom that lasts forever.
Mm-hmm. And we're citizens of that kingdom that lasts forever. Amen. So, what are you guys? I'm going to pick on Ryan, but I think that's the right time.
It on purpose.
I know. It's almost like you're nothing. What do you guys think?
And we thought about a lot of the words have been said already. And after we discussed that similar point, it was thinking about how our God is not an average, mediocre God.
Mm-hmm.
It's very extreme. It's always, you know, like the ultimate sacrifice, the most humbling way,
mm-hmm.
the King of all kings. You know, we think about like the depth of his knowledge, like everything is just always expanded beyond what we can ever even imagine.
Even his humility.
Even his
humility. Right.
It's always
right.
the furthest part.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about Philippians 2 as well, right? And I don't want to put it on here, but I did reference it. I mean, Philippians 2 is, I like the NIV version in this one particular verse, but right, this is talking about do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you looking to the interests of others. And I like the difference in verse 5. The ESV says, like, have this mind, I believe, have the mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. But the NIV says in verse 5, in your relationships, it's very easy to understand. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, right? Then it says, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, this eternal, everlasting, forever, with no beginning, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. This is what this group was talking about. He humbled himself, and this first group humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on the cross. So it's not only, we always think about the cross, and which is magnificent, but today I wanted to highlight that he came in human form as a baby. You know what's interesting, if you don't mind me, Pete, you know, I was kind of like working along your mindset as well, right? Like, okay, so why did he come in human form? He came as a man. He showed us he could fulfill the law, right? He's sinless. He's able to. On one hand, you said it shows us how bad we are. True. That's what, I mean, like, that's what the law does, right? But I don't recall scripture saying that he came to make us feel bad about, right? So the law does that. The law shows us sin. It doesn't say that Jesus came to live perfectly, to be like, look, none of you can do that. I was actually going down this other trail. I kind of wrote it this way. Let me see. Did I write in my notes? Yeah, this was my fourth thought. I was like, the fact that Jesus is both God and man tells us that, and the fact that Jesus came in this form, and that whole concept of the Godhead, the Trinity talking among themselves, a conversation we get to listen in on, and they say, hey, let's make them in our image. And I think there's something about being human where we tend to always kind of think of humans as bad, as people are bad. And growing up in the church, like, it's embedded in our thinking. People are bad. We're bad. People are sinful. And so I was playing with this thought initially, but it was actually on our, we did this night dive of manta rays, to see manta rays at night. And on our ship, one of the crewmates was giving us a talk about manta rays and this and that. And she goes, basically, there's only two rules. Number one, blah, blah, blah. I forgot the first rule already. Second rule, she says, second rule, you will lose a finger if you do this. Do not touch the manta ray because their immune system works, you know, a lot of it from the outside. So she says, do not touch. And then she says, you know what the greatest threat to manta rays are, right? And then, you know, she's like, and everyone said, people, yeah, people are the worst enemy to the planet, to animal life. The problem is people. I don't know what. I thought of that. People think people are the worst. And so have you heard that phrase? I was like, I'm only human, right? And we have this lens sometimes in which we see ourselves as really bad. And when you add the framework of, you know, we are bad, we are sinful, we need the Lord, sometimes we create a vernacular or a phrases, even in Christianity, where it's like, I'm just nothing. Like, I've said that to brothers and sisters, you know, hey, praise the Lord. Thank God for your involvement in kids' summer camp. No. I didn't do anything. I'm nothing. I think in Chinese, the phrase goes like, "我什么都不是." It's like, I think the literal translation is like, I am nothing, right? Or like, nothing can I be, you know? But I'm not sure about those phrases. I I don't think the answer is, oh yeah, yeah, it was me, man, yeah, you know, thank God, look at all, you know, look how gifted I am. I don't think that's the answer either, but I think there's something precious about understanding that humankind is more precious in God's eyes than even in our own eyes. That makes sense? Like, I don't think we view humankind biblically the way God wants us to view completely. On one hand, maybe like Nancy said, we don't understand in some terms how truly flawed and fallen we are, but on the other hand, we don't see this concept, we don't see or process how linked up with God we are because we were created in his image. Even if I worked on a product with wood, last time I think I preached about this box that I made that's on our coffee table. You know, box is the most basic thing in woodworking. If you can like make a box, that's like so fun. And it was one of my first boxes, and it's not like great wood. I see the flaws. But I would be a little bit hurt if, not that I'm like that thin skin on this, but like if someone pointed out all the flaws and was like, that's just not, let's not use that one. That one kind of sucks, you know. Or I saw in Hawaii a lot of better wood work, right, that we could buy. Or if one of my kids said, hey, let's buy this for the coffee spoon instead of the one Dad made. I'd kind of like be like, what's up with that? Because although I see the issues with my product, it brings like great delight to me. You know what I mean? And if that box had a brain and the box was always saying like, I'm the worst box, you know, like, look at all this like issue that I have. I think that's fine if you're a non-believer, you know, looking at you guys as like time continuum. Like if you're a non-believer, before you know Jesus, then it's really good to have that mentality. I'm the worst. I'm the worst of all sinners. Or even as you grow like Paul and you mature and you go, when Paul says I'm the worst of all sinners, he's not saying it for that moment in time. He's saying I'm the worst of all sinners because you have no idea, right, how decrepit and how wicked and polluted, how fallen my heart was. I'm the worst of all time. That's different. I think there's something, as I was meditating through this, the fact that Jesus took on the creation that Godhead, I love how Peter brought up the Trinity from the very beginning. The very first phrase he brought up, because that's where I've been hovering. And it's like, man, this concept of God saying, let's make them in our image. And in some sense, yes, Jesus came to come in human form. He humbled us. It shows his humility on another perspective and on another plane. I wonder if it's like, this is our creation. This is in our image.
So I've been thinking so much about that phrase, you know, the son is born, and
the child is born on the seventh given. You know, I think like, yes, it points to our flaws and our humanity and our sinfulness in comparison to Christ's, you know, perfection, right? But for me, it's not as much that, like, far beyond that is like the greatness of the gift,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
yeah.
To me, it's the greatness of the love that has been shown through the gift, right? Like, he, Emmanuel, right? Back to the name of God with us. He was not with us just, right, as a grown man. He was with us since, like, the conception of his life, you know? But the God with us was, like, from the very point, yeah, I mean, he blessed his life, blessed Elizabeth, even while he was not yet born, he was able to bless another person, right? Like, Emmanuel was, existed from the point of life till the end of his life. It was the fullness of the gift of love was just, you know, the reason why God chose to, like, bring him into the world that way, right? It, like, blows my mind a little bit, right? Like, it's so vast.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's a demonstration of his love,
mm-hmm.
right? And if, even to, like, thinking as a parent, right? Like, if I were to give somebody a gift, right? Like, if I were to give my child as a gift to somebody, right? Like, it's crazy to think, like, to watch, like,
which one?
Like, how difficult would it be as a parent to walk your child, like, from infanthood all the way, every step of the way, from their, you know, first steps to their teenagers, to, like, watch everything and loving you, watch them grow up, and then have them die on the cross or something like that. Kind of gift, and, like, blows my mind. Like, that love, that amount of love is so great, you know? And so, like, just that phrase I was thinking about, like, yeah, a son is born, a child is born, that's through labor and pain and everything, but the son is a gift,
right?
You know, and I think to me, it's more than just, like, our fallenness, it's just, like, the great love that we've been shown, like, through this gift,
yeah,
you know, of God being with us.
Yeah. That is our next section of, I was asking a question of, why would God want to be with us? Right? Why would God want to be with us? The gift of Jesus opens up the door to God's presence. In the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, it's very heavy language of the presence of God in the tabernacle, in the temple. Sacred spaces, sacred objects, the ark, right? The ark, you know, that's very Old Testament language. The New Testament is God is with us. And Jesus, God gives, the Father gives the Son to us. Then because of the Son's work, the Father gives to us the Spirit, who dwells with us, his presence.
That's the continuity, though.
Yeah.
It's not that it's not an Old Testament. In Old Testament,
I'm talking about the language.
That's why there's a tabernacle. That's why there's a temple. That's why there's an ark, because God wants to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
From the very,
absolutely,
very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, God wanted to be with us.
We were created to be with God.
We're not going to have time to talk about this, but even that last, you know, this last segment of discussion of why is Jesus here? Why does he have to come in human forms? Why does he have to bear the humility of being a human? And then why does he have to die on the cross? It's all because of us. We caused that. If we didn't have sin, Jesus didn't have to come. We'll just be in God's presence in the Garden of Eden, talking with God, enjoying his presence forever. So anyways, I'm just thinking about that. Like, the Old Testament, God is not aloof, and he's not want to be with us. He's always want to be with us. But we were just unable to approach him.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus had to come.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can. It's always so that we can. Yeah, sorry, I just...
No, that's right.
You know.
Yeah, I agree with that. 100%. I was merely talking about the language and highlighting that. Because now, because of Jesus, God is with us. The Spirit dwells with us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the other thing I wanted to make sure we highlighted today was this perspective of being created in the image of God. And for the Son to come, yes, it's limiting, but it's also something extremely powerful that it says about, you know, us as his creation. Okay, we're over time. Let's go ahead and wrap up in prayer. Father, thank you this morning for this time of prayer. We thank you for your word. I have all these notes and thought through all the rest of that passage, which reveals other names of God and Emmanuel is so rich, and this verse 6 alone has so much. I thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. I thank you that you are the God who created us so that we can enjoy intimacy and fellowship and closeness, that we were created to enjoy your presence. Thank you for restoring us. Continue to restore our thinking about what it means to be children of God, part of your kingdom. Continue to restore our thinking for the way that you view us, the way you love us, the way you've always wanted to have this unique and very fascinating, yet very intimate relationship with your people. So we want to give you glory. We want to give you thanks. I hope that brothers and sisters can meditate on this. And I've enjoyed this process, thinking about it, even on my vacation. It was just such a something very rich to meditate on. Thank you for your word speaking to me. In Jesus' name. Amen.